morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Acacia Mining Q1 2016 results conference call. My name is Dave, and I'll be your coordinator for today's conference. For the duration of the call, you will be on listen only. However, at the end of the call, you'll have the opportunity to ask questions. If at any time you need assistance, please press star zero on your telephone keypad, and you'll be connected to an operator. I'm now handing you over to Giles Blackham, Investor Relations Manager, to begin today's conference. Thank you.
Thank you very much, operator, and thank you everyone for dialing into our conference call following our results publication this morning. With me, I've got Brad Gordon, our CEO, and Andrew Rae, our CFO. Hopefully, you've all had a chance to digest the results. What we'll do is run through the key messages from those and then open it up to Q&A shortly after that. With that, I'll hand over to Brad. Thank you.
Thank you, Giles, and good morning, all. Delivered a strong start to the year with the Q1 performance. We had the lowest all-in sustaining cost since the company has been listed in 2010. The production at 190,000 ounces was marginally behind where we were in Q4 last year, largely due to the waste stripping at Buzwagi, but that was expected. All-in sustaining cost at $959, as we discussed earlier, is a good effort given that lower production. This drove an increase in net cash flow of $19 million. Our net cash position increased from $105 million to $124 million at the end of the quarter, and we're now sitting with $237 million on cash on balance sheet. In terms of the assets, all three assets, Bulyanhulu, North Mara, and Buzwagi, delivered above plan for the quarter. Bulyanhulu now has delivered 6 months positively against monthly targets, and Q2 has started well for the first 3 weeks of Q2. And the all-in sustaining cost at $983 stayed below $1,000 per ounce, even with that production increasing slightly during the year. North Mara, again, the star performer with the all-in sustaining cost of $737, largely driven by Gokona Underground continuing to deliver more gold than the reserve model suggested. And Buzwagi, with the all-in sustaining cost of $1,246, that reflects the waste stripping that we did in Q1. By the end of the year, the all-in sustaining cost at Buzwagi will be well below $1,000 per ounce, and that will have a significant impact on the group all-in sustaining cost by the end of the year as well. It's interesting to compare the Q1 financials to Q1 2015. Even though Q1 2015 had a $50 per ounce higher gold price, EBITDA was 24% higher, cash from operations was 11% higher in Q1 this year. Earnings were 7% higher as well than Q1 2015. So the financials were all going in the right direction, but dominated, of course, by a conservative tax provision of $70 million, which drove a net loss of $52. So, Andrew can comment more on that shortly. It's worth spending a few moments on the new government in Tanzania. As you are aware, the election was held in October last year, so they're about 6 months into the new 5-year term. We are rebuilding the relationships with the new ministers and the new senior members of the government. The president has come in with an anti-corruption push, a wasteful spending push, and ultimately their intention is to reduce the reliance on donor nations and self-fund the budget. What this has done is to drive an increase in tax collection in the country. We've actively supported that with a prepayment of $20 million of corporate tax, which we announced recently. But what the Tanzanian Revenue Authority is now doing is accelerating a backlog of over 400 tax cases in the courts. and we are not alone in being subjected to a number of, or to an unexpected ruling, which you've seen in these results. So the rulings are disappointing. It is indicative of a current negative tone towards foreign investment in Tanzania, but we're hopeful that as the government settles in, that situation will improve. And our response is the only response, really, which is to continue to work hard to build those relationships as we were successful in doing prior to the election in the 2.5 years before that. So in summary, look, the investment in our assets is paying off. The Bulyanhulu turnaround is gathering steam, and that's pleasing to see. We're continuing to deliver free cash flow. And even though Q1 was expected to be the weakest quarter of the year and will be the weakest quarter of the year, we're still tracking at the midpoint of the guidance ranges for costs and production. So I'll leave it there.
Thanks, Brad. Operator, please can we push across to Q&A?
Okay, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you change your mind and want to withdraw your question, please press star 1 again. You will be advised when to ask your question. The first question is from the line of Dominic O'Kane from JP Morgan. Please go ahead with your question.
Good morning, Brad. Quick question on Upper East. Just any sort of any update there and how you're thinking about the mine plan at Bulli with regards to Upper East for H2 16 and 2017?
Yeah, morning, Dominic. We're still doing that drilling that we talked about at the last quarter. That's continuing. So there's the drilling program's focus Upper East Reef 2, Central Reef 2, and lower out to the west on Reef 2. So it's part of a three-pronged attack to get more information about more reserves to come into the mining plan, but it's still too early to talk to you about when that Upper East 200 metres of strike comes back into half two 2016.
Okay, thanks.
Question now from Daniel Major from UBS. Please go ahead.
Hi, Brad. Yeah, a couple of kind of lines of questioning. Firstly, on sort of operating performance through the rest of the year at Bulli, I noticed that the sort of underground ore hoisted was slightly below the sort of milling rate in the first quarter. What sort of run rate are you expecting in terms of sort of underground ore hoisting and milling rate through the rest of the year? And similarly on the grade side, obviously strong grade performance in the first quarter. What are you expecting in terms of the trajectory through the rest of the year? Then the second question on the taxation side, can you remind us of the dollar value of the tax shield that you currently have, and I guess post the changes, and broken down into the individual assets?
Yeah, I'll let Andrew handle the question, Daniel. As far as the first question goes, yes, underground hoisted tons were slightly lower than what we milled, but Bulyanhulu is now performing on a fairly consistent basis, and what we've seen over the last 6 months, for the first time for several years, is that we're building up a stockpile on the run-of-mine ore pad. So that at one stage, that stockpile got up to about 60,000 tonnes. So we've been pulling off that stockpile to feed the mill, and it's given us some improved performance through the mill itself because of the ability to be able to blend from different parts of the ore body. So that explains the difference between hoisted tons and mill tons, and that stockpile still exists today, so we've got some flexibility there. Going forward, we would expect to see the underground tonnages coming up slightly as we continue to increase the tonnage from long-haul stopes. As far as the grade goes, don't expect it to stay at high nines. We were in a particularly high-grade part of the ore body in the lower west zone on Reef 1. You know, we had some stopes reporting grades in excess of 20 grams a tonne. So that won't continue. For the rest of the year, you can expect the grades to be in the low nines. And we also will see towards the right at the end of the year, you'll see some Alimak stopes coming in, which are lower grade as well. Andrew can answer the tax query that you had. Thanks, Darren.
Yeah, hi, Dan. Morning. On the tax shield, it's pretty straightforward, really, because now it relates to bullion. Hulu North Mara no longer has a tax shield for its own assets per se. I'll explain that in a minute. But on bullion Hulu, the tax shield is just over $820 million gross, so close to $250 million tax affected. And on that basis, even after the provision we've taken here, half of which relates to bullion Hulu, we're 5 to 6 years away, depending on where gold prices go, before bullion Hulu becomes tax paying. Of that amount, currently we've got just under $200 million gross, and that's $60 million tax affected at bullion Hulu, which is subject to further objections and discussions with the Revenue Authority. And we'd expect to resolve those in the coming months. So that's bullion Hulu. North Mara has exhausted its tax losses carried forward, so would be in a position where it were tax paying. It is able to utilize the prepaid tax that we have from the VAT settlement from 5 years ago. So that is a tax value of roughly $80 million, 80. So North Mara will be applying those against its taxable income. And on top of that, obviously, we're paying the $20 million prepay, which we agreed to pay earlier this year. And the assumption is that that's the prepaid amount going forward. On that basis, and on our life of mine pricing, we would exhaust those prepaid amounts and the prepaid VAT amounts, which are treated as corporate tax, over the next 4 to 5 years. So over that time, expect to see the $20 million in terms of cash payment. And at the end of that period, then North Mara would become a straight 30% tax payable, and Bullion Hulu probably a couple of years after that.
Okay, so you're looking at a total corporate plus bully tax shield around $900 million, and you won't revert to paying the full tax rate to the mid-2020s across the group. Is that fair?
Yeah, just to be clear, the numbers, the gross losses that we've applied to Bullion Hulu are 820. The tax effect of that is just under $250 million. And then the prepaid tax through the VAT treatment that was treated as prepaid tax is a tax effect of $80 million. So the tax benefit, if you want, is the 250 plus the 80. And yes, it's into probably around 2020. And a couple of years after that, we build up towards a straight 30% tax rate.
Great, thank you.
Question now from Frank Ngannou from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, morning, gents. A couple of questions from me. First, on Buzwagi, and can you just work us through how you intend to get the cost down to $1,000 per ounce for the end of the year? And the second couple of questions on North Mara, do you intend to capitalize more costs as we go forward? And my last one is on your energy cost. I was just wondering how and when you usually negotiate the fuel and energy costs.
Thanks, Frank. On Buzwagi, the costs come down largely due to volumes. So in Q1, we were stripping mainly waste. We weren't in the main ore zone. Q2, we start to go into the main ore zone, and then production in Q3 and Q4 increases significantly. So it's a volume-driven decrease in all-in sustaining costs at Buzwagi. As far as the capitalization of costs at North Mara and fuel costs, Andrew's got some more detail on that.
Yeah, the capitalization at North Mara, we were, I think, just over 11 million in Q1 between the underground and the open pit. That's close to the run rate, slightly higher for the remainder of the year, but it shouldn't be substantially different to that. Then on fuel, can you repeat specifically what your question is?
I was just wondering how and when you negotiate the fuel prices. Is it forward contracts do you have? Is it kind of like, is there a specific time during the year when you lock in the price you will get for your fuel?
So the underlying price moves pretty closely with spot, albeit that probably the screen price you see for Brent is about 60% of the fuel cost, because we've obviously got other costs attached to getting it to site. So that, in terms of an underlying price, is constantly moving. In terms of the prices that we are actually paying at the moment, we've locked in zero-cost collars for our fuel requirements, up to 75% of annual fuel requirements going forward. So what that means is, for the balance of this year, that the floor is around $70 a barrel, and the ceiling is about $92. So the effective price that we will pay, given current spot, is going to be $70 a barrel for the remainder of this year. And then that comes down to about $48 a barrel in 2017. As obviously we've been putting on those forward contracts into a falling oil price market.
Sure.
So that will be the price that we pay. So already you can see in Q1 16, even at that $70 a barrel hedged price, it's significantly lower than what we were paying in 2015, where the hedge floor was in the 90s.
Mm.
So, you know, that's roughly $2.5 million lower year on year in terms of actual realized fuel cost.
Yeah, that's very clear. Thanks.
Thank you.
I have a question now from James Bell, Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Morning, guys. Just three questions. Firstly, on labor costs. Obviously, you saw a big reduction in national and expat employees. Is there anything more to come on that? Second question is around power stability in Tanzania. Can you remind us, in terms of seasonality, are we expecting more disruptions this quarter coming, and will that impact processing? And thirdly, just at Gokona, obviously your grades are reconciling significantly better than reserves. Is the 10 grams a ton, is that relating to being in a higher grade part of the ore body, or do you think that this might continue for part of 2016? Thanks.
Good morning, James. It's Brad. On the labour costs, you know, you're aware that we removed about 30% of our workforce late last year. So we've seen the costs come down significantly compared to 2015. There's a small component of redundancy costs in Q1, which have affected the costs slightly. But it's about a 25% reduction in labour costs compared to where we were in 2015. There's a few more to come at North Mara, about 60 people, but don't expect to see any reductions beyond that. In terms of the power stability, Q1 was one of the worst power reliability quarters that we've had in several years, and yet we still delivered these results. So that was good to see. To mitigate that, there were two things happening. The first thing is that we've hired some from Agreco, some mobile power generation units for Bulyanhulu, just to stabilize the power there so that we don't suffer the interruptions. Normally this time of year you would suffer interruptions through the wet season, and we're now moving into the dry season, so naturally that seasonality will improve things. But with that additional capacity that we've installed ourselves at Bulyanhulu, and with the new infrastructure that the government is hoping to deliver in July, which provides a new reticulation line from the centre of the country up to where to the lake zone where our gold mines are, we should see improved reliability of power from now, and particularly in the second half when that new infrastructure is commissioned by TANESCO, the government power provider. And then thirdly, on the Gokona underground, yes, we are in the best part of the ore body, colloquially called the golden banana. And yes, it is delivering better than what we thought it would. We don't have enough operating data yet to change our ore body model. So it may outperform it by a few percent, but we are in the better part of the ore body anyway.
Okay, thanks for that.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question, please press star one now on your telephone keypad. I have a question now from Michael Stoner from Peel Hunt. Go ahead.
Morning, Brad. A couple of follow-up questions. How long do you expect to stay in that kind of grade sweet spot in the Golden Banana in Gokona Underground?
We'll be there for most of the rest of this year, Michael.
Okay, perfect. And then you mentioned earlier that blending at Bully is giving you a bit of a kind of process improvement. Can you quantify the recovery benefit there?
Not yet, but I would in these situations you'd normally expect to see, you know, a percent or maybe slightly more from being able to supply a consistent feed to the mill. And I guess the other improvement, which is going to give us a tailwind here, is consistent power. You know, the constant power interruptions at Bulyanhulu were hurting us as far as recoveries were concerned. So there's a couple of things there that are going to work in our favour for the rest of the year.
Okay, perfect. And then potentially a slightly unfair question. Given the strength of your paper at the moment, is that pushing you to look harder at M&A?
The M&A strategy hasn't changed. We're the number one priority in terms of looking at growth is to put our foot on the best exploration ground in Africa. You will see us do one or two more deals in West Africa over the next few months, so we're continuing to be contrarian there. We do have identified some more value that we can grab from Bulyanhulu and North Mara in the medium to long term, so we're focused on that. And the new COO who starts today is technically skilled, so he will add some value there in trying to bring that into the company. So that'll be a large part of his focus. In terms of bigger M&A for production assets, you know, we've always said that we would look at assets that were at least as good as Bulyanhulu and North Mara. The problem is that they're few and far between. But, you know, we will continue to see what opportunities are out there. But there are two other higher priorities at the moment, in addition to keeping the operations performing well.
Okay, thanks for that.
Ladies and gentlemen, just a further reminder, if you have a question, please press star one now on your telephone keypad. We currently have no further questions, so I'll hand you back to your host.
Thanks so much, operator, and thank you everyone for dialing in. I'm around for the rest of the day if you do have follow-up questions that spring to mind. But thank you very much for that, and I look forward to speaking to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining today's conference. You may now replace your handsets.